Lord, we just thank you today for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is true. Lord, your word never changes. Lord, that if we, Lord, live according to your word, Lord, that we could make, Lord, a difference in this earth, Lord, that we could actually help people that need help, Lord, that we could lead people to the cross, that we could, Lord, share your love with others, Lord. So today, as we open your word, I pray that you'd help us to see, Lord, your ways, Lord, so that we could live your will, your way, so that we could really do what's good in your eyes. So, Lord, our hearts are open this morning to receive what you have for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that's a great song. I love that last song, Lead Me to the Cross, because that's what it's really, you know, we have to understand fully the cross if we're going to live this Christian life. We have to understand that Jesus came and poured his blood out on the cross, gave his life on the cross so that we could be saved. It showed us what love was so that we could actually walk in that same love. I think sometimes as Christians, we try and live life the way we like it, the way we want to do it. We take the pieces we like, we take the parts we like, and we try and apply those to our life. And some of the things that are harder, some of the things that are more challenging, some of the things that are more difficult, we want to just leave them go by the wayside and not really dig in and go for it. And we wonder sometimes why we don't really have an effect in the world we live in. And God really has a desire. The Bible says in 1 Peter that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. So whenever we see, like even this group of teenagers this morning, you know, just having a heart to reach out to lost people and to people that don't know Jesus, that's the heart of God for this world. That's the heart of God that he wants us as Christians to carry. Was that love that drove him to the cross? It's not like, you know, sweet, hairy, fairy, Valentine's Day kind of love that does that. It's a passion so deep. It's a strength of character so powerful that it draws you toward even suffering and pain to help someone else be free. I mean, if we look back at our planet, even if we look back at guys like Abraham Lincoln or, you know, I'm trying to remember his name, but the guy who helped to abolish the slave trade. But there's just so many that were willing to endure pain for themselves because love for humanity. But Jesus, the ultimate, came from heaven to earth and gave his life for us. Gave his life for us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was willing to step down from his throne, from perfection for you and me. We need him. We needed him right from the start. And if we think we don't need him now, we're crazy. So we're talking about love in this series, the force of love, because it is a force. It's not just a warm, gushy feeling. It's a force. There's force in love. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to the earth and gave his life. When he left the planet, 120 people gathered in the upper room to pray, to obey him, to wait for the Holy Spirit to come and to touch, you know, this planet so that they could be witnesses to the world. And today, over 2 billion people call Jesus their Lord. 2 billion from 120. That love shook this planet. But he didn't mean it to stop just right here or just right now with us four and no more. He meant it to really just to take the whole planet. And we look at the love of Jesus and we say, that was beautiful, that was wonderful, that was sweet, but I just want to do my own thing. I want to live my own way, but that's not what God's called us to do. And we've been looking at the love chapter, and last week we had the weight, so, you know, we looked at one of our skinny boys who was skinny and one of our boys who had some muscle, and we said, well, there's all the same muscles in the person, but they need to be developed, you know. They have to grow by resistance, by pressure that comes against the muscle. It helps the muscle to develop. And so today I'm going to probably preach one of the hardest to get your head around kind of messages, hardest to get your will around kind of messages that I think I've ever preached. Because I think, like, part of our life with God, I know I work with young people so many years now, and part of what what is the problem for them is they get bored in their Christian life, but the Christian life should never be boring. It should be something that really makes your pulse go, because it's like Jesus, we're supposed to live like Jesus in this world. That's why they called the early church Christ ones. They were the ones that were like Christ. They you know, I think it was the Roman emperor that said that I could tell that they've been with Jesus. Like there was an idea and a thought that these people were like Jesus, and so we should be like Jesus. And we want to be like Jesus in that we could walk around and we could lay our hands on the sick people and they would get better. It'd be really cool if we could spit out, you know, enough food for 5,000 people out of a couple loaves and a few fishes. That would be really cool. And we want to do those things. But the predominant story of Jesus' life was his love. And that love ended up getting him killed. That love ended up getting him crucified. That love got him whipped and beaten and separated from his Father and in the pit of hell. And that's what love did. Jesus, it wasn't just about the show business. It wasn't just about the miracles. There was even a time in Jesus' life where he said, I'm just going to back off from the miracles for a while. And started talking about the sacrifice. You must eat my body and drink my blood. And everybody, the crowds split. They disappeared. They left him. And the disciples were left there. And he said, like, so, what? Are you going to leave me too? Are you going to go? Is this what you're going to do? Are you going to leave me like the rest of the crowd? And they said to him, what else can we do? Where else could we go? You showed us the words of life. And he's shown that to us. And he's called us to live that same love life and that same love walk that he lived. And that's not easy. That's going to be a challenge. So we've been reading in 1 Corinthians 13. I just want to read the first few verses and just take up this whole love thing a notch this morning, because I think we read so many times the scripture and we don't actually get its impact or its meaning because we just read over it quick. But this is what it says. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all of my goods, and if I deliver my body that it might be burned, but I do not have love, I have not profited anything. Here's what we need to understand and what we need to know, that we often don't enjoy thinking about this fact that we can live a life that seems spiritually powerful, but end up that it has no profit. We could speak in tongues, right? Like we could speak a heavenly language, Holy Spirit speaking through us. And the Bible says in these verses that at the end of our life, that our life could have no profit. It says that we could know all mysteries and understand all these things, and at the end of our life, there could be no profit. It says that we could even sacrifice, that we could give our bodies to be burned, and at the end of it, no profit. Why? Because love is the determining factor. That's what this whole chapter is about. It's about love. It's about expressing the love that God has placed in us in Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know, when we came to Him, we asked Him to come and dwell with us and in us. And for us, we sang this song. My life belongs to You. It's not mine anymore. It's Yours. Come and take my life. You know, transform and take my heart. I get the words all wrong, but like you get the point. Our life is now not our own, but we want to live it our own way so many times. So the truth is, we can seemingly do powerful things like speaking in tongues, prophesying, understanding mysteries, even sacrificing our own personal comfort and life, and still have God say to us, no profit. The reverse is also true. We can live what seems a pretty average and ordinary life and faithfully serve God, and God will stand up one day and he'll say, well done. You're a profitable servant. The difference maker in the equation is love. Because it goes on to tell us what love is, and then it goes on to say, you know, these three things remain, faith, hope, love. And it talks about how we need to grow into it. So this morning I want to talk about the law of love. I want to talk about what Jesus actually said in the Word about love and what does that actually mean, love. So I'm going to read this piece from the Amplified Bible. It's found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. It says, clothe yourselves therefore as God's own chosen ones. So there's a idea here that we have to take up love. We have to, this is what's going to go on to say. It's about love, this whole set of verses here. And we have to clothe ourselves in this, right? As God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior, this is how we do it, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, and a lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. How are you guys doing with this, okay? Be gentle and forbearing with one another, and if one has a difference, a grievance or a complaint against another, readily pardoning each other. Even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all these, put on, again, clothe yourself in love and enfold yourself with the bond of perfectness which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. This is the Christian life. This is the life we're called to live. A life where we put on love, where we actually have a life that's marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feelings, a lowly, opinion of yourself, gentle ways and patience. I mean, seriously, I would want to be this person. But like all of us, I think we're all trying to get there, right? But it's our heart. We should try and get there. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or complaint against another, readily pardon each other. How many of us are willing to do that? How many times do we walk around carrying a hard feeling or a complaint or a grievance against somebody and not forgive them? And really, by doing that, really reject what God has called us to do, to put on love, to not put on as in pretend, but to actually clothe our life in the love of God. So many times we want to get what we need out of God, what we want out of God, the things, the stuff. Maybe like, you know, a good job or a God to fix our marriage, or maybe we need to get healed, or we need to get that house or the car that we want or the career that we want. And so many times we're chasing these things and we're trying to live the things in God's Word that would help us to get those things so that we could get the things, when God has really called us to live a life of love. And in living that life of love, the Bible tells us if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these things would be added to us. Everything. We didn't have to pursue them. They'll pursue us. But we need to get the love life straight. If we look at the life of Jesus, pretty much everything that he taught us, everything that he added, if we look at his ministry, everything adds up to live a life of love. We want to learn things so that we can get the stuff that we want. And so in reality, we start to chase stuff in order so that to do that, we have to love or be faithful or pray or fast. We'll do that because we want stuff. You know, how many times have you made a deal with God? Oh, yeah, I'll do better this week. If you'll just help me with this, if you'll just do this for me, I'll do better. Really, if you get me out of this mess that I'm in, I'll read my Bible and I'll pray every day this week. And God's like, well, that's the point. That's what you're supposed to do. That's That's how you get to know me. That's how we get close. That's how the relationship builds. He's not looking for a deal. He's looking for a relationship. It's what he wants with you. I mean, we can't live for God and really know God unless we get into his word and we get to know him and spend time and talk to him and listen for his voice and know him. If we're going to do anything as Christians that will please God and bring honor to him, it would be to grow and develop in love. I think about the love of Jesus. Like, you know, we read Isaiah 53, you know, it talks about Jesus, how he was a gentle servant, how, you know, he was reviled against, but he didn't answer back. And he did this whole thing and he walked toward the cross boldly because of love, and he changed the world. He rocked the world, 120 to 2 billion people in 2,000 years. He rocked the planet because of love. And we're going to stand before him someday and say, look, you know what? I did what you said, and I've got this really, really nice house. Or I've got this really nice car. Or I could speak in tongues. Or I could understand all wisdom and all knowledge. And God's saying, well, it doesn't matter. What it was all about was love. It was all about loving and caring for people. And it's not just writing a little card, say, I love you. It's that idea that when somebody goes against us, that instead of pushing them back, that we embrace them in the love of God. That's hard. Loving God's way is not some mushy thing. It's like Braveheart. It's like warrior. It's like it takes a real strong person to really love people in that way. And whenever we even start talking about this, people are going, so what? You want me to be abused? You want me to be like downtrodden? You want me to take punishment? Is that what you're asking for? A life of abuse? Well, we look at Jesus. What was his life? The Bible says if you won't take up your cross daily and follow me, you can't be called my disciples. We could read the parable in Matthew 28 of the sheep and the goats that talks about, you know, how, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I did good in your name. I gave. I fed the poor. I visited. You know, I did all this. And God said, I don't know you. I don't recognize you. Because when we live for God, we take on the love walk. We start to look like Jesus in how we live. And now, don't get me wrong. No one's perfect right away. And I don't think we're ever going to hit perfection while we're on this planet. But we need to be growing in that love of God. We can't just love or pretend to love so that we can get what we want. We need to love the way God loves. To know God and fall in love with him and then experience the whole spectrum of what that love means. So the kind of love we're talking about is takes some serious guts and determination to walk out. This kind of love is not for the faint of heart. This is love that will cost you and love that will get you hurt in the process, but also give you victory in life. So when you stand before Jesus someday, he'll look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Faithfulness is just not a like showing up for church Sunday kind of deal. Or opening your Bible and reading a couple times a week kind of deal. Faithfulness is living life God's way. And loving people like God loved them. The question we have to ask ourselves is this. Why do we do what we do? Why do we want what we want? And even why do we serve God? Do we serve God just because we want something? I mean, so many times we come to God and we say, well, and I know a lot of us found him that way because we were empty and we were looking for something and God filled that spot in our life, and that's true. But as we grow in our walk with God, we have to love him because we love him, not just because of what he will do or what we want him to do for us. To get the things we want, do we just love God to get the things we want or because we love him? Do we give because we want something or do we give It's because we love God and His kingdom and we want to see that kingdom grow and people reach. Do we reach out to people because we have to or because we want brownie points from God, or do we do it because we actually are pretty excited about the Savior we serve and we just can't wait to tell somebody? I always go back to, you know, relationship. When when Christine and I first met and I fell in love with her, any of my friends that would listen, and sometimes just plain old strangers, I would like to just find a way to tell them about this great woman I met and how much I love her and how much I care about her and how perfect she is and how her eyes are like the most beautiful blue perfect eyes I've ever seen and like whatever. Like, I mean, I just wanted to tell people about my woman because she was amazing and still is. And is that why we tell people about Jesus, or is it because we just like we feel like we have to check another box? Because it isn't about that. We need to love God with all our heart, because if we don't love God with all our heart, we can't really walk out this life He's called us to unless we really get Him, unless we really get the whole idea of the cross and what He bought for us there and what He did and how He gave and how He wants us to give in return and how He really just wants to live through us. So here's a cool scripture. I know we've all read it. Luke 6:27 and on, it says, to 32, it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who despitefully use you. And to him who strikes you on the one cheek, also offer the other cheek. And to those who take away your garment, do not forbid your tunic also. And give to everyone who asks you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you desire that men should do to you, do also to them likewise. For if you love those who love you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also do the same." Amen. Let's go home, because that was a nice scripture. But I think we need to break that scripture down and really think about what that scripture says if we're going to really live these words out. These are pretty hard words. These are really hard words. The first thing it says is love your enemies. Have you ever had an enemy? Yeah, I had someone that just, you know, really doesn't like you and really would rather see you do bad than good, right? Like someone maybe who would harm you if they had the chance because they just can't stand to see you do well. Have you ever had that? The Bible says, love that person. I'm from Dunville. Seriously. Doesn't work for me. It's like, you know what? You have an enemy? Let's fight. Right? Like this isn't right. This is wrong. Like, how can you ask me to love my enemy? This is what God's asking us to do. So, like, we live a pretty sheltered life here. Right? We do. But I had a friend once who actually, whose wife and his child were killed in a drunk driving accident. And I remember that guy's whole life was to get revenge on the person who did that to his family. He just wanted to find a way. He plot ways to kill that person, to find a way to get away with it, to do it. Right? Because that person was his enemy. I couldn't imagine the pain that you feel when you lost your family because someone did that. The Bible says, love that person. He says, love them. How are you doing with that? I don't know, I'm doing so good, honestly. It says, the next thing it says, do good to those who hate you. You ever have someone hate you? Like, I remember when we ran the Potter's House, it was a drop-in center in town here, and we used to do a soup day on Thursdays, and we had this little lady, she died a few years ago, her name was Trudy, and if you knew Trudy, she's the sweetest thing. But she'd correct you with a big smile on her face, and every once in a while she'd kind of tick you off, right? But she made this soup, and she volunteered to make the soup, and she bought the food, and she made it all up. And there was this guy named Richard who used to come into the soup for the soup day. And he's a professional soup day kind of guy because he knew the kind of rules that soup kitchens should have and how it should all work. And one of the rules that he had included him getting to take home all the leftovers. Right? So, like, I'm just smiling. You want a double-double or are you regular? What do you want? So I'm making coffee. I'm smiling. I'm playing checkers, sitting, and I'm talking to people, and I'm enjoying people because that's what I love. I love people, right? So Trudy's talking to Richard, and Richard is saying, like, well, the soup should be mine because that's how it's done. Give me the soup. Put it in a bowl. I'm taking it home. And Trudy would go up, and she'd grab his, put her little hands on the side of his face, and we've all had that. And she'd be looking at him and going, don't you want to love Jesus like I love him? Right? And she'd tell him, well, you know what? I paid for the soup. I made the soup. I've got a grandson at home that wants to eat this soup when I get back, whatever's left over, and I'm going to feed him the soup. And you're not going to get it, and you shouldn't be so selfish. Well, the guy looks at me, who's got nothing to do with the deal, and he starts throwing the F-bomb my way and every other bad word and calling me names. And I'm like, she's the one who had you by the face and said, don't you want to love Jesus? Like, and he's like, I hate you. I'm like, what? I didn't do anything. So he stomps out of the place. And I'm like, okay. So I see him on the street a little bit later in the day, and I'm like, Richard, can I talk to you? Yeah. Pfft. See you later. Took a swing at me. I hate your guts. Walked away from me. And I'm like, so I'm thinking, well, the guy's a little bit crazy, but we'll deal with it. And, you know, a couple days and he'll forget it, you know. So a month later, I'm in a little store up the street, and it's a secondhand store, and I see him in there, and I walk up to go talk to him. And he's like, takes a lamp. It takes a swing at me with a lamp. And I'm like, what? I'm going, take it easy. You're an idiot. I hate you. I'm like, I didn't say don't have the soup. She said don't have the soup. But like for years, after a while, like I'm a little bit of a pest, so after a while I'd see him and I'd go walk over, hey Richard, and I'd be like, you know, talk. But he hated me. And I'm like, you want me to love him? Really? You want me to pray for him? That's what God wants us to do. Even when there's no reason for the hate to come your way, because sometimes, like I've not always been a great person, and sometimes I earn hate, right? Sometimes I earn people not liking me, and I can live with that. That's, you know, I can understand asking me to pray or to do good to that person. But Jesus was actually saying in this verse, well, give them the soup anyway. Who cares? But it was Trudy's soup, and she'd have done the same thing to me. And then I'd been walking around town hitting people. But anyway, goes on to say this. Bless those who curse you. You ever been cursed before? I have. I'm not always, at least, I could be a pretty aggressive driver at times, and sometimes I cut out, you know, a little bit too late in front of someone. And you ever have that feeling when you just cut someone off a little bit, maybe even by accident, and you just feel like goosebumps going up the back of your neck because you know they're just cursing you, like they're just letting it out on you, and you can feel it, right? But people actually do curse other people. They actually wish harm on other people. They actually would like to hurt other people. And the Bible says about that person, bless them. Right? So when someone's cursing you out, when someone, even like that guy I was just talking about, when he's cursing you out, the Bible asks you to bless him. That's what Jesus said. This isn't like the Old Testament law. This isn't like this is, you know, this was done away with when Jesus came to the earth. This is like what Jesus is telling us about how to live. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. You ever been used? Because people use people. Like in our culture today, it's unbelievable, but like our culture is pretty violent. And people actually really go out and they're predators and they seek to prey on people. And I think you see it a lot, especially among young men and women, where a guy or a girl will be really nice to another guy or girl for a while and really just, you know, wanting some sexual favors or some to get intimate and even throw the I love you phrase at people, right? And want them to give them something that doesn't belong to them and then use them, because the first person that comes along that they like after that, they leave that person there and forget about them and use them. Those people get used, right? And those people now go out and shoot people sometimes. But like honestly, there's so much using in this world. Like we see it, you could see it. People will come up to you and they'll be really nice to you because they want something. I guarantee you, there's been so many years at Christmas time as a pastor where people like give me a call and say, well, we've been really thinking about coming to your church and we want to be part of the church there at Jubilee. And could you give us some money and some food? And over the years, we've given away money and food to people that ask for that reason. And then the next thing you know, they come for that 1 week, they get the money and the food and they leave. And you feel used and you feel abused. Or maybe, you know, like you just really tried to love somebody and help somebody and they just took what you gave them. And they made fun of you, and they laughed at you, and they mocked you, and they used you. It's one of the worst feelings in the world when we've been used by somebody. Agreed? Like, I think it's one of the worst. I think I'd rather be hit. But Jesus said, pray for them. Not pray like, dear God, please kill them. Or, dear God, please, like, let, that's cursing, right? That's not what we're supposed to do. It's actually to pray for their well-being and that God would bless them. You know, over the years, you hear all kinds of funny doctrines in churches, and after a while, well, don't pray for God to bless that person because they could be living a wrong life, and then if God blesses them, they'll think the wrong life is good. But this scripture actually tells us to pray for, to bless, to do good, to love, people that are idiots. It's what he's asking us to do. This is the normal way for Christians to live. This is crazy. This is crazy. This is what Jesus did for us. This is what he wants us to do. Here's the good one for me. If he hits you, turn the other cheek. So a lot of people can take all kinds of mental and physical and all that kind of abuse, but don't touch the real estate. Right? Don't touch me. Because if you touch me, you're going to be living in a world of hurt. If you touch me, you're done. So, but the Bible says, if he hits you on one cheek, then turn the other cheek to him. Give him the other. What I know is this, that whenever you take a hit for the gospel, whenever you take a hit for Jesus, and you let God, and you return love to that person, God will deal with that person, not your worry. God will deal with it. If we would return love for hate, if we turn, you know, blessing for cursing, if we would return, you know, giving for taking, the Bible teaches us that God could turn that into something beautiful. Because, like, I don't know about you, but like I get in traffic once in a while, and somebody cuts me off, and I'm like, right? And I'm driving a little aggressive, and so I cut someone else off, and they honk the horn, and they give me the finger or whatever, and then I'm just like, wow, you're an idiot, bah, you know what I mean? And I think, like, well, I feel bad after that. Like, I feel good for the moment because I said my thing and I'm kind of ticked off and I let that go. But in the end, I feel bad because really the way God wants us to live is not that way. God wants us to return love, right? But if we will return love, God will take care of it. And I'll tell you what, like, I live with this in mind, especially because, you know, I grew up here in town, been here since, you know, 1972. So that's like 40 years in Dunville. People know me. People know my face. People know me that I don't know. And like when I'm in town, and out of town too, but especially in town, I live with a realization that my life speaks about God to people. And when we see people and we see how they live, it changes how we live. If we will return love for hate, if we will return, you know, blessing for cursing. God can do amazing things. It goes on to say, if he takes your coat, then give him your shirt also. When someone takes something from you, instead of holding on to that thing, the Bible says, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It says, give him, if he takes your coat, give him your shirt. Right? If I give him my shirt, it's not going to be a blessing to him. But we have to give to people even when they don't deserve it. We need to surprise them. It goes on to say, if he steals from you, don't ask him to return it. So like if someone steals from you and you catch them and they feel bad and they say, well, I want to give it back, the Bible says, well, don't even worry about it. Because when we give, then God can give to us. When we do all these things it says in this verse, which are very hard, we can allow God to give back to us. Like whenever we give, we know this scripture, right? Give and it'll be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So God will take care of you. But as we give out love in these situations, it will change the world. Like who expects, right? When say you cut someone off and you're in town and they see you. And so like they follow you, right? You ever had that? You cut someone off and they follow you for too long and it makes you kind of nervous. That's happened to me a couple times. But like, and then you pull into, you know, Canadian Tire and they pull in behind you and like you're like, uh-oh, this is trouble, right? But they get out and say, just want you to know today, you're a blessing and just want you to know that God loves you. And it's like, what? Really? Because it's not what's expected. When we return love for hate, when we return blessing for cursing, it gives God an opportunity to work in people's lives. This is what it says in John 15, verse 12 to 14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. So we know that scripture, right? No greater love is anyone than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. And then it goes on and says, you are my friends, Jesus speaking, if you do whatever I command. So this verse in context is saying, if you'll lay down your life for a friend, then you could be the friend of Jesus. But we take this verse to mean, well, I'll take a bullet for someone, or I'll push someone out of the way of the bus, and I'll die for that person. But that's really the easy way, isn't it? Like, I don't think it's hard necessarily to die for God, because I'm pretty sure, absolutely positive, that when I go, I'm going to be with him. But sometimes it's really hard when somebody does bad to me to do good to them. When someone who I consider a friend, who I've given my life for and with for several years, abandons me, I have a hard time laying down my life for that. When somebody that I've spent time with and encouraged and helped, it turns around and takes me apart, you know, in front of other people and backstabs and hurts, I have a hard time laying down my life in that place. But that's what this verse is talking about. If you're going to be the kind of person that God really is invested in, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So how did Jesus love us? The Bible says, while we were still sinners, in the Message Bible it says, while we were of no use to God whatsoever, Jesus died. The Bible said, like, you know, like he was dragged before, you know, to the slaughter. He was like a sheep silent. He took the sins of the world upon him, and he was innocent. And we could say, well, I wouldn't have done that to him, but apparently almost everybody at that time did that to him. And to think that we're better is pretty, you know, arrogant. But like, we treated him in that way, and he wants us to be willing to be treated that way so someone can experience his love. 2,000 years ago, Jesus shook the planet with that kind of love. And I'm telling you, I'm not there. I'm working hard at getting there. I'm really trying to grow and develop in the love of God. Because I really believe this, is as the church, if we would really start to love people the way this scripture is talking about, the way Jesus asked us to love people, We'll rock the world. We'll shake the world because this is not normal. This is not right. This is confusing. This is love. That's what this is. The way we become a friend of Jesus is to live under the law of love. The only thing that can separate us from that love is when we live selfishly and allow ourselves to be absorbed in ourselves. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, what can separate us from the love of God? And it goes on to list these things, you know, peril and sword and all these things that would drive us back to ourself, right? But it says, no, in Jesus, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us, right? And if we stay in the love of God, we can grow in the love of God and we can shake the world. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You for, Lord, I can't get my head around, Lord, that the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, gave His life for me. And Lord, today we just are so thankful to You for Your love. And Lord, we just so much as Your people want to live the way You've asked us to live. So Lord, what we read this morning is really hard. It's really challenging. It really isn't easy for our flesh, God. But You asked us to live this way. And if You asked us to do it, You didn't do it just to laugh at us when we couldn't. But Lord, when You asked us to do it, You gave us the power to do it. You promised You'd be with us and that You'd help us and that You'd send us the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to help us. So Lord, today we just, Lord, ask You by the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to empower us to live, Lord, the way You've called us to live. Lord, help us to love in the face of hatred. Lord, help us to give, Lord, when someone's taken. Lord, help us to bless when someone's cursing us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be the person that You've called us to be, Lord. Because, Lord, our greatest desire, Lord, is Your greatest desire. Lord, to lead a world to You. Lord, to show Your love to people who have not yet experienced what real love is. So, Lord, for all the times we failed, Lord, we ask You to forgive us. But, Lord, give us the power to live this way into the future. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.